We're holding on for Gimel Amud Beis, beginning the fourth perek. The subject of our perek is going to be basically various cases of women who are not able to drink the soita water, even though she and her husband are perfectly willing to go through with it. Well, some of them actually is going to be, one of them is going to be where her husband is not willing, but whatever. In general, where there's no other impediment, there's no edim that she's tame, she's not refusing to drink and so forth, but because of various other considerations that we're going to learn about in the Gemara, then she's not able to drink the soita water, and therefore the result is, as usual, when she can't drink the soita water and there's already been kinyus stira, she's going to be also to her husband, and in most cases she's going to forfeit her ksuba. So the Mishnah starts off. Arusa, a woman who was an Arusa, and her Arus was Mekane for her, and then there was Stira and all that, with Shemeras Yavam, and also where she's a Shemeras Yavam, she hasn't yet done Yibum, but she's in that limbo state between when her husband passed away and when the Yavam does Yibum with her. Lois Shoises for Lenotlis Ksuba. They do not drink the soita water, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. Psukim for that. The Mishnah is going to bring one such pasuk. V'loy noitlas ksuba, and they also don't get a ksuba. Shenema, because the pasuk says ashetista isha tachas isha. The pasuk says that a woman goes astray under, meaning while married to her husband. And therefore, tachas isha means prat la arusa. Shemeras yavam means as opposed to an arusa and a shemeras yavam, because they're not tachas isha. Tosfos brings the expression from the Yerushalmi that both of these women know that, as we're going to go on to explain, that they can't drink the soita water. So when they went into stira to begin with, they must have realized that this is going to cause them to forfeit their ksuba. And therefore, indeed, that's what happens, and the ksuba is forfeit. Tosfos discusses that actually. Tosfos goes on to discuss that usually the ksuba only kicks in at nisuin, but sometimes you have, as we learned in ksuba, sometimes they may have a ksuba that's in effect even before that, at least the basic 100 and 200. So they don't drink and they don't get the ksuba. Continues the Mishnah, other cases of a woman who doesn't drink, and Tosfos points out, now on the face of it, the Mishnah could have given one long list. Why is it dividing it into separate lists? The answer is because they come from different psukim and different reasons. The Mishnah continues, almona l'kohen gadol, if it was an almona married to a kohen gadol, which is also anyway, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyet, or grusha v'chalutza. Now, in all these cases, kedushin are tofes. It was a valid marriage al pi halacha. They just weren't allowed to be married. And in particular, the idea is, the whole idea of the mei soita is for her and her husband to reconcile and for them to be able to continue staying married. Here, the whole point is, we don't want them to stay continuing married anyway. So if it's a grusha chalutza, grusha being also daraisa, all of this connects with this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, you have the mitzvahs that a kohen hedyet is not allowed to marry a grusha, and the rabbanon also not a chalutza, and a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an amona. So all those cases. Also, mamzeres or nesina l'Yisrael. Likewise, if the woman was a mamzeres or nesina and she's married to Yisrael, where there's an isser involved. As far as the nesinim, there's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether it's strictly derabanan or whether Rashi learns that it's strictly derabanan, as after all they did convert. Tosfos learns, because they're from the seven nations, they're actually also daraisa. What it is that when the Gemara mentions, we learned in Yevamos, that David made the gzera on them, it means that they're going to remain avodim. But Tosfos at the beginning of in Ksubas discusses, we learned this at the time, a whole discussion of, is it that maybe the issue in the Torah was only the fact that they're going to be avodim, rather, was only a temporary one, and Yeshua made it as long as the Beis Hamikdash is standing, and David made it forever. Anyway, the point is whether it's daraisa or derabanan, there's an issue for a Jewish man to marry a nesina, and therefore so that marriage, even though kedushin or tofes, but the marriage is actually asur. So all those cases, lo shoses for noit l'ksuba, all of those women don't drink if they become sotas, because again, the whole point of the sota is only in order to be able to be materate for her, to be mater her to her husband, and she's not going to get a ksuba either, because the fact is there was kinui and there was stira, and therefore they're going to forfeit their ksuba. Usually, by the way, it is true. Rashi points out that you, in a regular case where, for example, an almana marries a kohen gadol and so on and so forth, usually the chachamim don't penalize her and take away her ksuba, because after all, as much as she did wrong by marrying him, he also did wrong by marrying her. So there's no reason why we should allow him to benefit. But here, the fact is there was also the stira. So the same way as a kshera, the same way as a regular kosher marriage, where she can't drink the sota water for one reason or another, then she forfeits her ksuba. Here, where the psulim, she certainly doesn't gain from that. So that's the list so far. The Rambam, actually, now we mentioned before, actually, that Rashi and the Rambam disagree when the Gemara tells us earlier in the Masechta, and it's going to again tell us at the end of the Masechta, that the rule is Bismansho Ishman Nukame Oven, when the husband is clean of guilt as far as Bia, then the water will test his wife, and if not, then not. Rashi learns that applies strictly to the Bia, which becomes also as a result of the Sota process, meaning that when she becomes a Sota, as we learned before, she's also to her husband until she drinks the meisoita. So now, if her husband were to have relations with her, then he would be over on that, and then the water doesn't work anymore. According to Rashi, that it's strictly that point. If the husband was guilty of other bias asuris, then no problem, the water would still work. The Rambam disagrees. So now, according to Rashi, then the reason why in the case of these women, why the sota water doesn't work is again because they're not roi for their husband. They're not roi to be married, and therefore the water doesn't work. According to the Rambam, you have a different reason, is because the fact is this man, by marrying this woman in the first place, did an issu, because all of them are also deraisa or derabanan, as the case may be, and therefore, that would be reason enough that we know the sota water is not going to work in the first place, and therefore we're not going to give it to her to drink. As far as the arusa at the beginning of the Mishnah, by the way, Tosfos gets into a discussion. Actually, Rashi first gets into a discussion. Now, or not the arusa, the shemeres yavam, rather. So now, we said in the Mishnah, we said earlier, shemeres yavam becomes osur and forfeits uksuba. Now, we learned in the second parak, we learned a few dafim ago on daf yud ches, we had Rav Hamnuna's statement that if a shemeres yavam is mezana, she becomes osur to her husband. And we discussed that the Gemara had said the halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna, although Tosfos said maybe after all it is. Now, Rashi says, in our case over here, if we're talking about Shemeres Yavam, and the question is whether she becomes osur. The question is that we're saying that she doesn't drink and she becomes osur. So what do you mean? If we follow Rav Hamnuna, then sure, it's easy enough to understand why she's osur. But if we don't follow Rav Hamnuna, and the Gemara there did say the halacha is not like him, then what's the problem? Even if she was mizane while she was a Shemeres Yavam, she'd still be mutter to the Yavam. So Rashi answers that's true. Nevertheless, the Yavam has every right to say, I don't want to marry a Zoyna. So it's your fault. I would have been perfectly willing to do yibum with you. And it's true, technically now I am allowed to do yibum with you, but I don't want to have to do yibum with somebody like you. So therefore that would be reason enough for her to forfeit her ksuba. Tosfos discusses that further. There's actually a Gemara in Yevamos that discusses that point as well. And gives the Gemara there discusses it more in connection with the Arusa, and it gives a couple of different answers over there of how Bechlal, the question is, doesn't the kinui have to be at a time when she would be also to him? And as a Shemeres Yavam, she's not going to be also to him. So the Gemara actually gives there a couple of different answers among them that maybe we're talking about that our Gemara is going to bring this also, actually, that maybe he had relations with her before officially doing Yibum with her, which then the Gemara is going to ask one second. The first relations they have makes them fully married anyway. We learned back in Yevamos that Midar Aisa, you don't need anything else other than Bia. But the Gemara discusses several several possibilities in the case of an Arusa. Also, the Gemara is going to deal with the possibilities over there of what happened between them before the marriage. The Gemara is going to give, you know, the Gemara over there gives an answer that as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that it's true that that he couldn't do kinui as an Arusa when she's an Arusa, but we could be talking about that it's included by Gilgul Shavua. We talked about it before. Once he's making a swear, then already he's able to add other things. And then the Gemara brings up the possibility over there that maybe he can do the kinui while she's an Arusa. And then we're talking about the stira happened only after they got married. Anyway, so there is a Gemara in Yevamos that deals with that and brings to a certain extent some of the things that we're going to have in the Gemara over here, but then disagrees with it or possibly disagrees with it on various grounds. Anyway, so far we have a few cases of a woman who, for one reason or another, can't drink the soda water, but also forfeits her tzuva. Now there's more cases, continues the Mishnah. Ha'emeres tmeyani, also a woman who says that I am tamei, that I was mizaneh. V'shabola edim sheitmeya, or where edim came and said that she's tamei, then also, of course, she's not drinking the soda water in either of those cases. Also, Oma Baila Eni Mashka, another case would be where her husband says, I don't want to give her to drink. V'shabayla Baala Baderech, or where her husband had relations with her on the way or any time after she became a Sota and before they did the whole Sota procedure, which again, that we said that prevents the water from working. So in those last two cases where the husband doesn't want to give her or where he had relations with her on the way, notless ksuba v'lo shosis. In those cases, they do get their ksuba, but they don't drink. They don't drink because there has to be their husband's consent in order for her to get the Sota water, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. And in the case of Baal El Baderach, it's not going to work anymore. But in those two cases, it's the husband that caused her to not be able to drink the water. Therefore, we can't say that she should forfeit her ksuba because that would be causing him to benefit. So in fact, we give her ksuba in that case. Okay, continues the Mishnah. I'd said yesterday or the day before, actually, that in the case where the husband says, I don't want to give her to drink, she also forfeits her ksuba. Now we see from that I was wrong. And in fact, in that case, she does get her ksuba. Actually, the Mishnah of Melech and the Rambam brings up a very interesting point. Bichlal, we're going to talk about more in the Gemara tomorrow that you have, we looked about in Ksubas as well. You have a woman who's oververes al das, who's violating mitzvahs in the Torah, where therefore in many cases she can forfeit huksuba. Here, even if you're going to say that she in the end she wasn't mizana, but she certainly was over al dust by being alone with this guy where the husband warned her not to, why shouldn't she forfeit huksuba for that reason alone? Forget about whether she was actually tomei or not. Even in fact, the Mishnah Lamelech says on the face of it, even if she came through the whole thing with flying colors, and as we're going to learn later on in the Perek, she now is stronger and she has children and so forth. Wasn't she over al dus by being alone with this guy in the first place? And the Mishnah Lamelech goes into a long, other Achronim also go into a long arichos about why that should be so, why she still is entitled to Uksuba. The Mishnah Lamelech at one point says that maybe. So he starts by saying that after he goes through a few possibilities that maybe the thing is that the warning that she was given, he brings based on a Rashba, that maybe the warning that she's given doesn't necessarily include that she's going to forfeit her ksuba. All the husband told her is alti sasri mishpani, don't be alone with this guy. So maybe therefore that's not enough to cause her to forfeit her ksuba. The Mishnah Lamelech says, maybe. He ends up saying that the vort is, when do we say she forfeits her ksuba as a result of being over al dos? It's things that directly affect her husband. For example, in ksubas, we talked about, let's say, for example, where she gives him food that's not meiser or that's not kosher or whatever, or she's not careful in the dinim of nida, and he ends up having relations with her when she's a nida and things like that. Something like this. The stira with somebody else, which doesn't really directly, that's not machshel her husband, then therefore that wouldn't be reason enough for her to forfeit huksuba. The Mishnah goes on to say, the Mishnah goes on to say, Mesu Bale and Achele Shosu. What about another case? What if the husband dies before the woman has a chance to drink the Mei Soita? Now, you need the husband there in order to bring his wife there to drink it. So Beshamay says they're still going to be entitled to collect the ksuba. They don't have to drink because, she would be perfectly able to drink the sota water. That's the fact that her husband is no longer living that prevents it. Therefore, Beshamay says that's not reason enough for them to forfeit the ksuba. Or Beshilo says either they're going to drink or they're not going to collect the ksuba, which the Gemara ends up saying. Obviously, Basil agrees that they can't drink in that case. So Rashi brings from the Gemara that it means because they can't drink, therefore Basil is going to say the ksuba is forfeit in this case. Why is that? That we're going to learn on the bottom of Chofei Amud Aleph and the top of Chofei Amud Beis. We're going to discuss why Bes Shama and Basil disagree on that. Next. What happens if a person marries a woman who's already pregnant from somebody else or a woman who's nursing a baby from someone else? Now, we learned back in Yevamos and Exubus that you're not supposed to do, in particular in Yevamos, we learned about that you're not supposed to do that when she's pregnant. You're not supposed to marry her because then the baby may be damaged when the new couple has relations. And when she's nursing, then her milk is going to dry up if she becomes pregnant. So usually you have that she's not allowed to get married until the baby is 24 months old, which is the amount of time that a baby, at least in those times, normally nursed. So now if a new husband married her b'isser, they don't drink the soda water, and they don't get the ksuba because again they married b'isser. The chum say it's true they married b'isser, but yochol hu lafrisho lachzir lachazman, the husband can always separate from her and then remarry her later. So therefore, you can't really consider it. That she's completely osur to him, unlike the earlier cases in the Mishnah of Amon Lakoin Gadol and so forth, where they weren't allowed to get married in the first place, and there's never any heter for it. Here, there will be a heter for it after 24 months, so therefore, that's not reason enough to prevent her, say the Chachamim, from drinking the sota water. This Macholikus was showing him whether lafrisha means they actually have to get divorced and then they'll remarry after the 24 months, or whether it just means they have to separate for a period of time. Whatever the case, the point is, the Chacham say that's not reason enough to bar her from drinking. There is some discussion, by the way, of whether a pregnant woman can drink the soda water at all, or whether we're concerned about. Tosfos points out in the case of a pregnant woman, there's another reason why we shouldn't have her drink, because there is sakonis nefoshis. Actually Tosfos says so maybe not the sakonis nefoshis of the baby is not really so much considered a nefesh yet in halacha, but rather the difference between the issue of marrying a pregnant woman versus marrying a different woman is somewhat different is somewhat different rather than, for example, the case, now you have another case, for example, that we learned in Yevamos, that a man is not allowed to marry a woman within 3 months of her first husband dying or divorcing her, because we're concerned she might be pregnant, and then we won't be able to tell whose baby it is. But if they already got married, then Tosfos says that we would still say we're not going to penalize him anymore and force him to divorce her. So that's the machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim again about if she's pregnant or nursing. If he married her when she's pregnant or nursing. Next, Ailonis, which we learned about extensively in Yevamos and a little bit in Ksumas, is a woman who is naturally infertile, and in particular, she's never going to develop the physical characteristics of womanhood. She never develops stasis, she never develops breasts, etc. Uzkena, and a woman who's old, so she's already too old to be having children, or where she's incapable of having children. So Rashi explains that would be, for example, she drank a potion that makes her infertile. Tosfos discusses that and says not necessarily would that be. So there are different other possibilities of what Einaru Uya Leilid means. Tosfos brings one possibility. For example, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that if a woman first gets married after 40 years old, she's going to be infertile. And the Gemara mentions over there about Benos Tzlafchad, what a ness it was. That even though they first married after 40, they all had children, but generally it's not like that. So that would be one example of Ru'ya Leilid, and there's other examples of Ein Ru'ya Leilid, and there's other examples like that as well. Anyway, so Loi Noitlis Ksuba. Now again, the husband shouldn't have married them because he needs to do Pru'avu, and he can't with such women. So Loi Noitlis Ksuba V'Loi Shosis. So the Tanakama says she can't get a Ksuba because he shouldn't have married her in the first place, and they can't be drinking for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. But Bechlal, I mean, the basic idea being because they're not supposed to have been married, so again, she's not Ru'uya Loi. Rabbi Eliezer says, so not necessarily off limits. Yochol Ulisa Isha Acheres, Velifis Velibus Hemena. After all, he could marry another wife and do Pru'uvu with her. So that's not reason enough to say that this Ilonis, or an Ilonis, actually, we're going to see in the Gemara, everybody agrees, can't drink because there's a different limud in the pasuk for that. But the other ones, the Skena and so forth, Rabbi Eliezer is saying there's not reason enough to bar them from drinking the Mesota, because just the fact that she's Einar Uyalai, the fact is he could marry a second wife and have children with her. Here you have in the Mishnah, you have the little vav from Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah on the word Ilonis, and on the face of it, it goes on all the following ones. In fact, the Rambam paskens that only an Ilonis is barred from drinking, but not the other ones, not the Skena and so forth, based on Rabbi Eliezer's logic. But we're actually going to learn in the Gemara that there's going to be a discussion of Amiroyim within Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, and we're going to say that there's cases where even the other Chachamim in the Mishnah agree with him. Okay. Anyway, any other woman has a choice. She can either drink or she forfeits, or if she doesn't drink, she forfeits her ksuba. We gave the whole list now. We gave the list now of women who can't drink. Any other ones have the option of drinking if they want to, and if they don't, then they forfeit their ksuba. Actually, the truth is this list is not exhaustive. We're going to learn... The truth is that this list in the Mishnah is not exhaustive. You have, for example, also later on in the Perek, we're going to learn cases where her husband is blind or she's blind, or her husband has his arm or leg amputated or she does. And we're going to learn from Sukkim that in those cases also she can't drink. But as is often the case, the Mishnah is not listing every possible, is not listing every possible scenario. As far as the Shemeres Yavam, we'll talk more about her in the Gemara. Anyway, Eishes Koyen Shoyso Muteres Labayla, the Mishnah continues, a Koyen's wife is able to drink the May Sota, just like any other Sota, and if she does, and she comes through it successfully, then she'll be Mutter to her husband. The Gemara is going to ask, what's the Chiddush in that? Why do you think that a Koyen's wife is different than anybody else? Eishes Sris Shoyso, and also the wife of a Sris is also able to drink. Now the Gemara is going to point out a sris on the face of it can't have relations. There's two kinds of sris. We learned about them in Yevamos. There's sris chama, where a man which is the male equivalent of an ilonis, where he was born, he doesn't develop normally as a man does. He doesn't develop shtei sairus and the other signs of adulthood. It can be because of some problem with chromosomes or with hormones or who knows what, whatever. Anyway, so that's one kind. And then you have the other kind is Sris Odom, which is something was done to him by people to make him infertile. It can be, for example, an operation that was done where they removed certain parts as Khrushchev up to a DACA, whatever. Or you can have, for example, where also, just like a woman, you could have where he drank some kind of potion that makes him infertile. Here, Rashi, now the Gemara is going to point out that you have to have, you have a rule based on Sukkim. It has to be Kodma Shchivas Baal Laboil. It has to be that the first one to have relations with this woman was the husband, not the boil. It can't be that the boil, the one that she suspected of being Mizana with, would have been the first one to have relations with her even before her husband. Now, in this case, Rashi points out, if he's a Swiss, then on the face of it, how did he have relations with her? So therefore, Rashi says it would have to be necessarily that he became a Swiss after he married her. So therefore, when they married, he was perfectly normal, and later on, he developed to be a Swiss. Later on, Rashi says differently, and in fact, Marsha says over here that the statement in Rashi over here may not be from Rashi himself. Marsha says it may actually be from a Talmud Toya. It may actually be not Talmud Toya. He says Gilyan. It may have been a note that was written on the side of Rashi, which eventually, by mistake, got incorporated into Rashi, because later on in the Gemara on Daf Chaf Vav, Rashi explains differently that a Swiss is capable of having relations, because we could be talking about, for example, that he drank a potion to make him infertile or whatever. He's still perfectly capable of having relations. And therefore, we can say that there was kod meshchivas baal leboil. So therefore, it's not necessary to necessarily to say, like Rashi is saying over here, that we're talking about that it happened only after he got married. Anyway.
What's the definition of a Swiss?
So a Swiss is a person who has a man who's infertile, which there can be a few different possibilities why. Anyway, so the Mishnah is saying that the wife of a Swiss can drink. And again, the Gemara is going to ask, what's the Chiddush? Whether you learn that we're talking about that he became a Swiss only later in life, or whether you're talking about that he became a Swiss, but he's still capable of having relations, why is there a Chiddush that that his wife should be able to become a Soita and drink the water? So again, we're going to discuss that in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah, Al Yidei Kol Arayas Mekanin. Now the husband can warn her regarding any Arayas, any woman, meaning in other words, not just, we usually figure, Kinui, as he tells her, Al Tisasri and Ishpoini, where the Ishpoini is some other man not related to them. But in fact, any Arayas, he could be Mekane. He could tell her, for example, don't be alone with your father or with your brother, even though outside of that, now, for example, you think about it, most men, she's also to be alone with Bechlal, even without the Kinui. There's an Isser of Yichud. But a woman is allowed to be alone with her father. So only the Kinui makes it that now not. Nevertheless, though, that such a Kinui is a valid Kinui. And now, if she were to be alone for the specified amount of time with her father, then she would become a Soita. Why would the husband do that? The Pashtus is if he has reason to suspect that there's something going on, but whether that's the case or not, it is a valid Kinui. The Chutz Min HaKotan, with the exception of a Kotan, because after all, the Pasuk says, B'shochav Ish Oisa. Machlokas among the Mephoshim, when we say not a cotton, do we mean only up to 9 years old, where his bia is not even a bia, or do we mean up to 13 years old, because the fact is that he's still not a gadol? Umimisha in a ish, or somebody who's not a person, namely if he tells her, don't be alone with this behemoth. It's true that it's also for her to have relations with a behemoth, as we had in last week's parasha. Nonetheless, that's not going to make her a soita if she does, even if she's over on his warning. Continues the mission of Evosha based in Mekanin Lahan. The following cases, based in will do the kinui on behalf of the husband because the husband himself is not able to do it. Mission is Scharish Baila Oshin Estata. The first cases are where the husband became deaf, and Cheresh, as usual in the Gemara, means deaf mute. So now he doesn't have das anymore to be Mekane, and he's incapable of speaking anyway to be Mekane. So therefore, based in will do it on his behalf. Oinishtata, or he became a Shoita, same problem, he's lacking das to do it. Another case would be if the husband is in jail and he's not able to do it. So in all those cases, we don't mean that their kinui is going to result in that she can drink the soita water. It has to be that the husband himself did the kinui. All it will be is that will amount to a warning that if she keeps this up, she's going to forfeit her ksuba, because again, there was the kinui from Beis Din. If there is stira, she's going to become also to her husband. And again, because she can't drink the soda water, then she's going to remain also to him. So that will be what the kinui accomplishes. And the kinui will also accomplish other things as well. For example, in the next perek, we're going to talk about the idea that the woman is also not only to her husband, but also to the boil. So it has that implication as well. If there was kinui and there was stira, she's also forever also to marry this guy that she was suspected with. Kinui is the warning where the husband warns her, don't be alone with this guy. Anyway, Rabbi Yossi says, no, afla hashkoisa, no, the kinui can be effective to give her to drink. When the husband gets out of jail, or in the other examples, if he's no longer a cheresh or shoita or whatever, then he'll be able to give her to drink based on Beis Din's warning. So that will be a valid enough reason. In other words, the point is like this. Rashi explains the pasuk says the kine and then behavi. It says the husband wounds her and then he brings her. Rabbi Yossi does not darshan that. So therefore we have a hekesh between the warning and the bringing. That since the husband is the one who has to bring her, then he's also the one who has to warn her in order for the sota process to take place. Whereas Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that and doesn't hold of that hekesh. Therefore he holds based and can give the warning, and then the husband will be the one to bring her. Actually, the Meiri learns even more than that. The Meiri says that based in themselves could bring her if necessary to get the drink. You don't even need her husband. You don't even need her husband to be available for that.
Even though it says
behavior, the Meiri learns that Rabbi Yossi would say that it doesn't necessarily mean that the Beis Din basically stands in, they become his shluchim. So the Gemara starts off in the case, in the first two cases of the Mishnah, Arusa and Shemeres Yovam. We said a woman who's the, where they've done Erusin, and also the case where she's a Shemeres Yovam, where she's waiting for the Yovam to do Yivam with her. So we said they can't drink the sota water, but they can be subject to kinui. The husband can do kinui for them. So the Gemara says, so let's see, Mishnah hu d'lo shasya. So the implication is they don't drink the sota water, ha kanuya makani, but apparently the husband can do kinui for her. Minohani mili. Now, where do we know that from? So the Tanarabon, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta. The Torah introduces the parasha of Sota. Hashem tells Moshe, speak to B'nai Yisrael via Marta, and you should say. And Rashi adds the words, and Hagos Habach also adds in the Gemara, Aleihem. The pasuk says, say to them. So that means the words via Marta, Aleihem, L'rabis Arusa, V'shemeres Yovam L'kinui, that comes to include that an Arusa and Shemeres Yovam can be included in Kinui. And therefore, so Kinui with them is valid. An interesting explanation that the Tiferes Tzion says the word aleihem suggests they're yet to be had relations with. He hasn't yet bought aleihem, he hasn't yet come to them to have relations, and the word aleihem in the pasuk therefore is implying that they were already subject to kinui even before that. So again, the Gemara is going to deal with later the problem that the husband hasn't had relations with her first. We're going to get to that on Omer Beis. But anyway, Umas Nisin Mani Rav Yonasan. So who would our Mishnah go like? Our Mishnah would be like Rav Yonasan. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says when the Kohen is beswearing the woman, he tells her that if you were Mezanet, or if you were or weren't Mezanet, Tachas Ishech, under, meaning while you're married to your husband, the words Tachas Ishech, Prapla Arusa. So that's as opposed to an arusa, because at the time she wasn't yet she's not tachas, she's not under her husband yet, they're not fully married. Yochol shani motzi af shemeres yovam. You would think then that we should also exclude by that a shemeres yovam, because after all, a shemeres yovam is also not tachas ishah yet. Her first husband passed away, and she's still waiting for yibum with the second one. No, Talmud Lomer ish divrei Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia says yes, but on the other hand, since the pasuk begins at the beginning of the parasha of Sota, it says ish, then that extra word, those extra words teach us that also a shemeres yavam is subject to drinking the Sota water. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, when we stand in the Mishnah, arusa v'shemeres yavam, lo shoses, that's the thing. Our Mishnah would not be like Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia would say an arusa true, but a shemeres yavam not. A shemeres yavam could perfectly well drink the Sota water. Again, this is where you have the whole. This is where you have the whole discussion that we started talking about before about what Rav Hamnuna says, that Rav Hamnuna holds that if she was Mizana during the time when she's a Shemeres Yavam, she becomes also to the Yavam, she becomes also for Yibum. If we say the halacha is like him, then that would explain why Kinui and Stira at that point is effective, because if it turns out that she was Mizana, that she's also to him. If we say the halacha is not like him, then again, like Rashi said in the Mishnah, in that case, then all we would say is the Yovam has every right to say, I don't want to marry a woman like that. There was an interesting idea, actually, the Beis Halevi of Yosha Ber Brisker says on this, that specifically he says that he learns in Rashi, and he explains on various other grounds as well, that what we'd say is, normally we would say, normally, indeed, we would say that this is from last week. Okay? Normally, indeed, we would say not like Rav Hamnuna. We would say just because she was Mizana as a Shemeres Yavam doesn't make her also to him. But here, because he obviously minds, therefore the Beis Halevi learns that alone makes her also to him. That alone may that in that particular case that makes her also to him for Yivam. So anyway. So, but again, Rabbi Yoshia says that Rabbi Yoshia says none of that. He says that a Shemeres Yavam could drink just like any other woman. Rabbi Yonason says no. Tachas Ishech prat the Shemeres Yavam. Rabbi Yonason says no. The words Tachas Ishech come to exclude a Shemeres Yavam. Then Oitzi Shemeres Yavam will Oitzi Esarusa. Well, in that case, you would think only a Shemeres Yavam should be excluded and not Narusa. So Rashi explains like this, in other words, you can look at it either way. You can look at it that an Arusa or Shemeres Yavam is a stronger thing. You can look at it that an Arusa is stronger because after all, he's the Gemara itself actually is going to explain soon. He himself was Makadish her, as opposed to with the Yavam. And also the fact is, if she is Mizana during the Erusin, then she would be Chayiv Misa, as opposed to a Shemeres Yavam is Mizana. Even if we say like Rav Hamnuna, she's also for Yibum, she's still not Chayiv Misa while she's a Shemeres Yavam. So for that reason, you could say that Narusa is stronger, and therefore, if the Pasuk is going to be excluding anything, says Rav Yoshia, it's going to be excluded. So Rav Yonason is going to say, that Arusa is stronger, has more of a relation with her husband than the Shemeres Yavam does. On the other hand, you could say, as the Gemara is going to say soon, the fact is you don't need chuppah, all you need is bia, whereas in the case of an Arusa, you need chuppah and bia. So therefore, you can look at it either way. One is stronger than the other. So Rabbi Yoshia says that the Tachas Ishech excludes an Arusa, but in fact he says the Shemeres Yavam would be included. She is considered Tachas Isha in the sense that all they need is one thing, all they need is bia, and then that's it. That's a done deal and they're considered married. Rabbi Yonason, on the other hand, is taking the view that the Tachas Ishech excludes a Shemeres Yavam. There's less reason to say the Shemeres Yavam is considered married, because after all, he wasn't Mekadesher. He hadn't been Mekadesher. It's only as a result of his brother's marriage to her. So then he continues, Oitzi Shemeres Yavam vela Oitzi Es Arusa. In that case, you would think that we should still include the Arusa. No, Tamad Loimar, you have a different time where it says Tachas Asher Tista Isha, Tachas Isha. The Pasuk finishes off and summarizes. It says, these are the dinim when a woman is Mazana under her husband, Prat La Arusa. So as opposed to an Arusa. So he ultimately says that both of them are excluded from different psukim. So okay, on Mishnah brought only one pasuk. Fine, it's still the basic din is according to Rabbi Yochanan, is according to Rabbi Yonason. On Mishnah just didn't want to bother bringing both psukim, but it does hold like Rabbi Yonason, because according to Rabbi Yoshia, you would say that a Shemeres Yavam does drink soda water.
If you might even bring it down, if he gave her,
well, so that's the Maimer is only Koinim Midrabban.
Right,
so,
but that together would bring a zikah.
No, but it's still not enough, because the fact is you don't need chuppah, you only need bia at that point. But the truth is that Gemara in Yevamos that I was referring to before does mention Maimer as one possibility. You have the opinion that's mentioned in a few places in Ksubas, the opinion of Beis Shammai that holds Maimer koina b'yevama kinyan gomer, that Beis Shammai and a few other Tanoim hold that Maimer does create a complete kinyan. And therefore, that might be a reason why our Mishnah is mentioning an Arusa and how the Kinui could be valid in the first place. So the Gemara does bring up that possibility. But Lahalacha, where Maimer only accomplishes anything in the Rabbanon, then yeah, it's yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, Mar Alimalei Arusa. So. Rabbi Yonason figures that an Arusa is stronger. She has more of a relationship with her husband and can be called Tachas Ishef. And only because we have a second Tachas Ishef do we exclude her as well. Because he holds, because after all, number one, it was his own Kiddushin as opposed to his brother's. And number two, if she would have been Mizana as an Arusa, she would get Skila, and Naira Maros anyway, get Skila as opposed to a Shemeres Yavam doesn't get the maximum she would get is Malkus. Umar Alimalei Shemeres Yavam, whereas Rabbi Yoshia holds that the Shemeres Yavam is stronger, Dolei Mechsur, Mesira L'Chuppah, because there's not lacking to give her to the Chuppah, whereas a regular marriage, you need Chuppah, and only then do they do Bia. So therefore, there's an extra step missing.
Midrabani can be Yotzer with Bia also.
You can be Makadish, right. Yeah, that's something else. But Makadish, Mabia, only makes Kiddushin. We're talking about Nisuin. Oh, yeah. For them to be fully married, they'd still need Chuppah. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, Rabbi Yonason, hi, ish my Ogadlei. Well, if Rabbi Yonason is not learning from the word ish to include a Shemeres Yavam, then what is he doing with the words ish? The answer is, He says you need to include it also, you need to have it to include also the wife of a cheresh, the eshes shoyter, and the wife of a shoyter, whereas we said in the Mishnah, they don't have the ability to be mekane themselves, based in us to do it on their behalf. The eshes shimum, and also the wife of a man who is suffering from shimum. So Rashi explains, shimum, Rashi translates as timhoin leib, which literally means like timhoin means like an astonishment or an emptiness of the heart. Rashi, you know, it's mentioned in the Torah clan, Parshas Kisavai, and Rashi defines it over there as basically his heart is closed up. For example, we're talking about a person who's suffering from depression or something like that, or some other condition like that, where again, he doesn't realize what's going on. And a different explanation, one of the Achorin in the Minchas Knois says you could also have a case in Shulchan Aruch. It talks about that you can have a case, for example, of a person he's not technically a shoter, but he's very unaware of how things work in the world. He doesn't have the seichel to understand when you have two things that contradict one another. Yeah, people like that, you know, that they hear one thing, okay, you know, yeah, makes sense. And then they hear another thing, yeah, makes sense. And they don't realize that the two things contradict each other. Such a person, for example, apostle Aegis, because they have no idea how things work in the world. So therefore, Aegis Shimum could also include a person like that, where the husband is like that. He has no idea, he has no understanding of how things work and how things might contradict each other. And therefore, for example, you know, he sees that his wife is going into seclusion with other men. It doesn't even occur to him that there's a problem with it, so we're based in us to do it on his behalf. Anyway, so Rabbi Yoshi would say, that the word ish is including such examples, but not like Rabbi Yoshi would say that includes a shemeres yom. Tosfos goes into a very very long arichos over here dealing with the whole question of why we even need it. Why we even need to ask what Rabbi Yoshia would do with the words ish? Why don't we just say Dibra Torah, Peloshim Bnei Adam? Why don't we just say the Torah uses common terminology and the common way to start by saying that something applies to every person in Loshon Kodesh, in Tanakh, Loshon Kodesh, would be to say ish. So Tosfos goes into a very, very long discussion about the ins and outs of that when we say Dibra Torah, Peloshim Bnei Adam, when we say it's for a Durasha. In any case, here the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yonasan has to do something with it for a Durasha, and the answer is he's dowshing it for the Eishas Cheresh and so forth. Okay. What is Rabbi Yoshia doing with the words Tachas Isha? Where we said, so now Rabbi Yonasan, we said, says, because it says Tachas Ish Sheikh when the Kohen is speaking to her, and again Tachas Ish Shah at the end when it's summarized, when the Torah is summarizing the whole thing, then therefore we learn from that there are two cases being excluded, one being the Arusa and one being the Shemeres Yavam. Where Rabbi Yoshia says the Shemeres Yavam, Rabbi Yonasan rather says that Shemeres Yavam is being excluded by the first Tachas Ishech and the Arusa by the second one, Tachas Isha. Now, so how does Rabbi Yoshia learn differently? What does he do with the Tachas Isha? What does he do with Tachas Isha with the second one?
It's extra words.
It's extra words, yeah. What the part of the Torah says at the end, Zois Torah Saknois, this is the rule of the warnings of the jealousies. Asher Tista Isha Tachas Isha, where a woman goes astray under her husband, Vinitma, and she becomes Tame. The whole pasuk you could argue is redundant, but certainly the words Tachas Isha, who else would she be going astray from other than her husband? So obviously we have to douch in something from it. So Rabbi Yoshia, so again, Rabbi Yonasan is douching from it that you have another case where she doesn't drink because she's not fully Tachas Isha, namely the Arusa. Even though he holds the Arusa has a stronger relationship with her chosen, because after all, it was his kiddushin, and because it's strong enough to make her chayiv misa if he is mizana. Nevertheless, the second Tachas Isha tells us the fact is she's not Tachas because she's not fully married to him. They're still living apart. She's living at home, and while she's preparing for her wedding. But now Rabbi Yoshia holds that only one woman is being excluded, only the Arusa. The Shemeres Yavam, he says, does drink the soda water. So what is he doing with Tachas Isha? The answer is Miboil of a Hakish Ish le Isha of Isha le Ish. He uses it to teach us that we make a hekish between the husband and the wife, and vice versa, between the wife and the husband, as far as we're going to learn at the end of the parak that, for example, if the husband is blind, then his wife cannot drink the soita water, because the pasuk says Vinela Me'ene Isha, the matter was hidden from her husband's eyes, implying that her husband has eyes to see what's going on, and he didn't know though that this is actually what she's doing, implying that if he doesn't have eyes, then therefore she can't drink. So now we learn from the Hekish that the same way if she it doesn't have eyes. If she is blind, then she doesn't drink the soita water either. And so forth. The Gemara is going to go through on Daf Chav Zayin a number of physical handicaps where if the husband, we learn from various psukim that if the husband has them, then she can't drink. And we learn from the Hekesh that if the wife has those same handicaps, she can't either. And vice versa, we're going to learn from certain psukim that there are certain handicaps that if the woman has them, she can't drink. And vice versa, if the husband has those same handicaps, then also not. So we learn that from this Hekesh, says Rabbi Yoshia. We learn that from Tachas Isha. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Ela time d'chsivi hanikroi. Now let's consider. So what are we saying? The reason why we don't give the arusa to drink, because of these psukim, Rabbi Yoshia's and Rabbi Yonason's psukim, respectively, holav hochi hava amin arusa shasya, implying if it weren't for that, we would have thought. By the way, Tosfos points out that, yeah, I mean, Taka, where would each one of them know the other one's lamudim? The fact is, when we're saying that we have to include an Eres Eishes Cheresh and Eishes Shoita and so forth, and vice versa, where we need to say that if she's blind or he's blind, etc., that they don't drink, where does each other learn it from? Unless we're going to have to say, would we have to say that they disagree with those dinim? So Tosfos leaves the question open. So Ela Taima Dichtibi Hanikroi. So what are you saying? Only because it says these psukim, are we saying therefore that an arusa, and according to Rabbi Yonason, a shemeres yavam doesn't drink. Hola pochi haba min arusa shasya. If it weren't for that, you would have thought that an arusa is in place, is capable of drinking the sota water. The problem with that is v'hoki osa Rab Acha b'chanina midaroima. But when Rab Acha b'chanina came from the south, of Eretz Yisrael, the Pashtos. Also, he came with all knowing his learning well. Va'aisi masnisa b'yadei, and he brought with him a new braisa that the Chachamim had not known of before. The braisa says, now when the Kohen is besuing the woman, he says, if any man has lain with you, mibal ade ishech, aside from your husband, so that implies that her husband had already previously had relations with her, and now she's suspect of having relations with somebody else as well. So from that we learn, mishakodma shrivas baal laboil. It has to be that the husband's relations with her came before the potential relations that the boil did. If it's a scenario where the boil may have had relations with her even before the husband did, then she's excluded from the rule of the soita. Now, in Arusa, her husband hasn't yet had relations with her, which is the first time they have relations is after chuppah, after misuin. So then in that case, automatically, an Arusa is not going to be drinking anyway. Why do we need Tachas Isheich to exclude her? So the answer is, you could still have the scenario where the Orus had relations with her and it was Znus while she's still in her father's house, while she's in Arusa. So in other words, it's true he's not allowed to have relations with her at that point, but let's say he was over on that and did that. So therefore, you do have Shrivas Baal before Shrivas Boil, but nevertheless, the Pasuk is telling us from Tachas Ishech that she's not going to drink the Soita water later on when she's suspect of being a Soita.
Even though it's wrong.
What we mean is, in other words, no, obviously he's not being Makane with her for himself. What we mean is they had relations while she's in Arusa. Now, later on, while she's in Arusa, he's had reasons to suspect that she's also being Mizana with somebody else, and he did Kinui, and then there was Stira.
But if he had was a relation, then it won't work anyhow because he did something.
So according to the Rambam, that would seem to be a problem because according to the Rambam, any biasura would make him osur. And Mefoshim explained that Mefoshim answer that maybe according to the Rambam, we would say since this is only an isur derabbanon, because midaraisa, there's not necessarily a problem with them having relations, only derabbanon. Maybe that wouldn't be it. So what not so much it wouldn't be a problem, but until that we need the posik, until the Chachamim came and asked it during however long it was from when the Torah was given until the Chachamim asked the Orus to have relations with the Arusa, then you need that. Nevertheless, even though it was perfectly allowed during that time for them to have relations, nevertheless, still you have the posik Tachas Ishech that excludes her from drinking the soda water. It's true that once the Chachamim made that rule, then anyway they would be excluded because he was over on an Isser. According to Rashi, the question doesn't begin in the first place. Because according to Rashi, it's only BS Isser that prevents the soda water from working is only if he had relations with her after she became a soda. Anyway, so Rami Bahama is saying, so you can have the case where the Oros already had relations with her. So therefore, so we do have Kodma Shechivas Baal Leboil. But nevertheless, though, the fact is she's an Arusa, and therefore the Pasuk is, and therefore the Pasuk is excluding her from drinking the Sota water. But the Gemara asks the Kabbalah. Well, in that case, then we have to say something similar. Gabbai Shemeres Yavam. In that case, after all, the Mishnah is putting together Arusa and Shemeres Yavam. So you would have to say that something similar as far as the Shemeres Yavam. You'd have to say Yavam. So you'd have to be talking about the Yavam had relations with her while she's living in her father-in-law's house after his brother passed away. So again, you have to have Kodma Shechivas Baal Leboil. So on the face of it, it has to be that the Yavam had relations with her before she's ever suspect of being a Sota. Well, the problem with that is, Shemeres Yavam Karisla, how are you calling her a Shemeres Yavam in that case? Ishter Mal Yasihi. Isn't she a full-fledged wife in that case? All you need for Yibum, at least on a Daraisa level, is only relations. Da Omer Rav Konalakol. Rav says that even if the Yavam has relations with her b'shoigig, or even that he does it for purposes of znus, now the Mishnah says they're on Yavamas. The Mishnah says, when the Yavam has relations with the Yavama, whether b'shoigig, whether b'mezid, even b'oynas or whatever, then he's still koina. And Rav says, Now Rav says that means that he acquires her as his wife for all purposes, meaning that if, for example, if the Yavam is a koin, she can continue eating truma. And that if she dies at that point, he yaushins her, and so forth. So therefore, according to Rab, how is there a scenario where he had relations with her and it still wouldn't be that Yibum has been accomplished? Once they have relations, then Yibum has been accomplished. He's not a Shemeres Yavam anymore. And if he hasn't had relations with her yet, then you have Kodma Shechivas Boil the Baal. And then automatically, then the Sota procedure doesn't work because it has to be that her husband had relations with her first. So the Gemara answers, okay, so we're holding Kishmuel. So you know what? When it comes to Shemeres Yavam, we're holding like Shmuel. De Omar, Loi Kona El Dvarim HaMuna B'Parsha. Shmuel says that when we say that if they had relations, and even if it was for the sake of Znus or whatever, it's enough to make her his wife, Shmuel holds that applies only to certain things that it mentions there in the Parsha of Yavam. Namely that, so now, he inherits his brother's property, as a brother who was married to her before, and now he wants to divorce her, he gives her a get instead of chalitza. Those things, Shmuel said, for those purposes, consider that the Yibum has taken place. But as far as everything else, no, it would have to be that they had relations for the sake of marriage, says Shmuel. Well, therefore, so you could have the scenario, they had relations for the sake of Znus. So according to Shmuel, she's not fully considered married yet. She's still, to a certain extent, a Shemeres Yavam. So now the Mishnah will be telling us, even though so far so good, you have Kodma Shechivas Baal Leboil, but because she's a Shemeres Yavam, says Rabbi Yonasan, and our Mishnah follows that still she can't drink the soap. Okay.
Because they had in mind for
Znus rather than for Yen.
Even they had in mind, she'd been married.
Right. Well, that's the point. Shmuel was saying they're married only to a certain extent. In order for there to be a complete Yibum, that now we should say, for example, that she should be considered his wife for other purposes, for that you would need that they had relations, having in mind that it's for the sake of Yibum. Okay. So the Gemara asks, in that case, Ihochi, Lema Rav de Omer Kerab Yoshi or Shmuel de Omer Kerab Yonasan. In that case, does it come out that Rav and Shmuel are essentially just say having the same machloikas as Rab Yoshi and Rab Yonasan? And as usual, when the Gemara asks that, then the point of the question is, then why are they bothering to repeat the machlokas? Just let Rav say the halacha is like Rabbi Yoshia, and Shmuel should say the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon. So the answer is Omalach Rav. The answer is Rav can answer you. I'm not the Amri Afilul Rabbi Yonasan. Rav would say what I'm saying works even according to Rabbi Yonasan. Obviously, what I'm saying works very nicely according to Rabbi Yoshia, who says that Shemeres Yavam does in fact drink, and Rav, who says that, when they had relations, she becomes his wife for all purposes. So according to Rav, in other words, basically, there's really no case of a Shemeres Yavam not being able to drink because necessarily you have to be talking about where they had relations first, otherwise called Meshivas Boyal Abal. And once they have relations, then they're considered fully married. So therefore, so there's no time really when we would exclude a Shemeres Yavam on the basis of the words Tachas Ishech. So, but Rav would say, nevertheless, what I'm saying works even according to Rabbi Yonason. Mid Itzirich Krol Ma'uta. Precisely because the Torah, according to Rabbi Yonason, needs to use the words tachas isha to tell us that a shemeres the tachas isheith rather to tell us that the shemeres yavam doesn't drink, we call the ishtei mal yasini. Therefore, from that alone, we see that other than that, she would be considered his wife 100%. So it's one thing again, like we said before, Rabbi Yonason would hold that an arusa is considered more of a wife than a shemeres yavam. So according to Rab, the fact that we need a posse to exclude her means that even Rabbi Yonason, who has that posse to exclude her, would agree with me, says Rab, that once they have relations, they're fully married. Nonetheless, though, the posse is saying that nevertheless she's not subject to the dinim of Soita because the kinnery took place while she was still a Shemeres Yavam. So Rashi goes on to say that definitely there's no question that Rav can go according to Rabbi Yoshia, who says that before. So Rashi says when we said before that Rabbi Yoshia learns from Ish that a Shemeres Yavam drinks. Rashi says that's actually only an asmachta. Really, Rabbi Yoshia agrees with what we said before that it means that it comes to include where the husband is a cheresh or shoiter or what have you. The fact that he said that from ish we learn a shemeres yavam, Rashi said is really only an asmachta. Tosfos disagrees with that and then says it's not an asmachta, but. You don't really need to say that. The fact that it says that tachas ishech implies that he had relations with her for issues and otherwise not. So if they had relations, l'shem issues, then after that he did kinnery, then fine. But if not, then not. So what Rab is saying would work according to Rabbi Yoshia, no question about it. And it could even be made to work according to Rabbi Yonason. Then Shmuel, Amos Shmuel would say vice versa. I'm not the Amri Afilu Rabbi Yoshia. What I'm saying that. If the Yavam and Yavama have relations and it's not L'shem Yibum, it's L'shem Znus or whatever, that they're not fully married. They're only married, as Shmuel said, only as far as the thing that it says in the parasha, that he inherits his brother's property and that if he wants to divorce her after that, he gives her a get. But not, for example, that if he's a Koyan, she can start eating Truma, or that if she dies at that point, he will Yashin her. Shmuel holds that not. So Shmuel says, what I'm saying, I feel that Rabbi Yoshia can work, even according to Rabbi Yoshia. Same thing, since Rabbi Yoshia would say that you need a posuk in order to include that a Shemeres Yavam does drink, that he said you're learning from the word ish, then he would say, that implies that otherwise you wouldn't really consider her his wife, because otherwise you shouldn't need any posuk to tell us, of course, that her husband can be mekane for his wife and have her drink the soita water. So the very fact that the Torah has to tell us with the word ish that you include a Shemeres Yavam means that other than that, we wouldn't have said they're considered married. And again, Rashi adds that what Shmuel is saying can certainly work according to Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason says she doesn't drink at all because she's not his wife. And therefore, the fact that Rabbi Yonason brings a pasuk for it from Tachas Isha, again, Shmuel would say is only an asmachta that really we learn from it what we said before to make a hekesh between the husband and the wife. So that would kind of, the way Rashi is learning would kind of answer Tosfos' question from before. Tosfos wondered if we're saying that Rabbi Yoshia is using the word ish, Rabbi Yonason is using ish to include the wife of a cheresh and so forth, and Rabbi Yonason is using the Tachas Isheich to make a hekesh between the husband and the wife. Well, how are they going to learn each other's drushas? According to Rashi, it comes out very neatly. Each one of those is saying that drusha is really only an asmachta. Really, I'm learning, really, the Gemara is saying over here, each one of them is learning. Rav and Shmuel can say respectively that each of them is learning that she is, that the Shemeres Yavam is considered fully his wife or isn't considered fully his wife, as the case may be. And automatically that leads to the respective dinim of Soita. And therefore, the psukim that they brought are really only asmachtas, and therefore they can really use them for the other drushas that we said. So it includes an erishas cheresh, and we make the hekesh between the husband and the wife as far as the various physical defects. Again, you have that Gemara in Yevamos that deals with this whole question also, and gives a few other possible answers. One of them being that we could be talking about where the Yavam did Yevama where the Yavam did Mimer with the Yavama, but they haven't yet done Bia, and Bishamai holds that makes her fully his wife. Nevertheless, we're saying that the because you don't have Shriva, you don't have Kod Meshrivas Baal Leboil, therefore she's excluded, but maybe Kinui during that time would be effective. And the Gemara gives a few other answers over there, and the Gemara ends up saying that maybe you're right, maybe he can't actually do a Kinui while she's in Arusa, but when we learned before, and we learned in the previous parak, that when the Kohen beswears her and she answers Omen, Omen, and she includes in that Omen Shalei Sotisi Arusa, that I'm saying Omen, that I was never Mizana while I was in Arusa, it's true, the husband wouldn't be able to beswear her on that alone, but once he's already beswearing her that she wasn't Mizana while they're fully married, then he can already, through Gilgul Shavua, he can include also that she didn't when she was in Arusa.
Other brothers can jump in and take action, and then
That's true. But that's what we're saying. In other words, you can't necessarily do a kinui while she's a shemeras yavam. The question would be also though, if she is mizana while she's a shemeras yavam, would that have any effect according to Rav Amnuna? It makes her also to do yibum with any of them according to everybody else. Not. The Gemara mentions there the possibility, or Rishoni mentioned the possibility that maybe Kod Meshchivas Baal Leboil, maybe it's good enough that her first husband, the first brother, was married to her and had relations with her. Maybe that would also be Yotze as far as Kod Meshchivas Baal Leboil, to the extent that we could say that now the Yavam has the ability to do Kinoi with her. As far as what you're saying, there are other brothers, and you could easily say the scenario could be where there is only the one brother, and therefore automatically he's the one that's going to be doing Yibum or not.
Okay, sure.